shall we read a poem from A Light in the Attic.
Hello, all, and welcome to A Shall We Read a Poem. I'm Russ.
I'm Lauren.
Oh, there's a lot to talk about today. There's neutered cats and a honeypot scandal.
Yeah, actually, cats has to go with what I'm reading today.
Oh, nice. Well, probably less so the honeypot scandal than unless testicles are involved. I'm not funny.
I don't really know what a honeypot is. Well, I know what a honeypot is, but I don't know what a honeypot scandal is.
Well, in terms of spycraft, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think less so the thing that Pooh Bear gets stuck in and more the thing that happens in a lot of Bond movies. So a honeypot scandal is where you take an enemy operative and they seduce one of your operatives and they either get information directly from them or threaten to leak compromising material on them to force them to give up information.
Uh-huh.
So, but in all cases, you're lured in by, you know, a tempting other individual.
Right. I've heard of a honeypot as being pussy before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these days you can't discriminate. Like, you can, well, like, there's gay honeypots and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know if you've been following the news across the pond lately.
No.
But over in our friend Britain, they got themselves embroiled in it. And a whole bunch of, like, government ministers got texted the same exact line on WhatsApp. And with the same exact photos, and they all thought initially that it's like, well, I'm the only one, but then they came together and like one guy reported it and they were all like, oh shit, we're all getting these same messages. What the fuck's going on? And they all got them at around the same time. And so it's like, well, who leaked the numbers? Like, no one should have these numbers. Like, was there a leak? What's going on here? Turns out it was the work of one very enterprising guy. And he is batting 1,000 on social policies. He was anti any kind of COVID control. He was pro-Brexit. He is Tory MP William Ragg. Now, William Ragg is the MP for Hazel Grove. There we go, wherever that is. And
sounds like a suburb somewhere in the U.S.
Sounds like a suburb somewhere. And he got contacted via Grindr. And it turns out that it wasn't some rockin' twink on the other end. It was a spy. And so this guy was like, hey, here's my dick. And this guy was like, now that I have pictures of your dick, you're going to give me government information or I'm going to leak it to everybody. And then I guess, like, maybe he's not a very important MP because all he had to give out were other people's phone numbers.
Okay.
And then he did, and then the honeypot fell apart after that because no one else was, like, taken by it, or no one that we know of yet.
Yeah. As far as I know, everybody else was like, no, this doesn't seem right.
And so he got kind of punished. Like, he had to resign the party, and he won't stand for the next election. So he's basically done in government. But I also don't understand, like, yeah, leaking government numbers, you probably shouldn't do that. But also, I don't understand why them having pictures of his dick was a compromising thing. Because
this
is a post-2016 world. There's no decorum.
Right. I mean, it's not illegal. I mean, it's not illegal for somebody to, like, was he married? Is there some reason it would be a scandal?
Well, I thought about that, too. It's like, maybe he's married. Like, he's a Tory, and so they usually hate the gays, and, you know, he's on Grindr. But he's not married, and he's been out publicly since, like, 2015.
So I guess just be like, yeah, take my dick.
And it wasn't like he came out to friends and it was like general knowledge that he was gay, but like hidden from his constituents. He came out on Twitter.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
that's weird.
I don't know why this was, but yeah, he was like, yeah, anyway, I don't get why that's compromising.
No.
And also, I mean, other than the fact that you probably don't want to look at his dick, I mean, he looks like every Tory ever, which is white, basically flabby and, you know.
Yeah, it does. I don't know. I think he would just be, he should have just been like, whatever.
Now, on the flip side of that honeypot scandal are the French. Because, and it's going to sound like I made this up, but I didn't. It was recently revealed that Russian spies have been circulating a memo that says Don't try honeypots on the French. It doesn't work on them.
Because they're just like, whatever, tell everybody, I don't
and
care.
And so they'll be like, give us information or we'll tell your wife. And they're like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, she found out about the last seven affairs. Like, who gives a shit? So they're being cautioned not to use honeypots on the French.
Not the French.
One, it they gives them no away. Shame. And two, they don't get any information.
Yeah.
It's,
Well, good on the French for not being ashamed.
And fuck you, William Ragg. You have a nice alliterative name. You could have been a superhero, but now you're just a balding Tory.
I mean,
he does have a British hairline, man.
Yeah, I can't imagine it would have helped, like, really done him. I feel like it wouldn't have damaged his reputation that much to just have his dick out there. Like,
I mean, like, if he had put his dick on Twitter, it would have been like, that Tory scamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ragg told the Times last week that he handed over colleagues' numbers after he had sent intimate pictures of himself saying that he was, quote, scared and mortified. Of what?
Of what?
I mean, unless they were, like, really intimate, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe it was a go-to situation.
Yeah, or like some FetLife shit, I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, that actually could be more of a scandal if he was, like, in, like, some latex suit or something like that.
He's into the Zen ties. It's him, but it's like, he's all, like, suctioned up against a wall with just his dick pointing out of his green suit.
Well, I mean, unless it has his face in it, you know?
It's a green Zentai. He's utterly unidentifiable, but for the very large name tag that says William Ragg Pigslip. Oh, fuck. And what this spicy content was, you'll have to wait for his OnlyFans, sure to open up next election season.
I hope he does. Good for him. I mean, well, good for him if he were.
So that's my news.
All right. Well, I guess it's my turn to read a poem. So I'm going to do it. And we are down to only a few poems, maybe only two, but there's definitely one here.
Well, I'm maintaining a list. I think we got about eight.
Really? That's way more than I expected. Well, I'm doing Captain Blackbeard Did What?
Cool.
The sea is a roaring. The gulls, they screech. The bosun, he rants and he raves. And the whole scurvy crew says, it's true, yes, it's true. Old Captain Blackbeard's shaved. We had buried some treasure, and bodies as well, and was just sailing back from the cave, when he calls for boiled water, and stomps down below. And garbity comes up shaved. There's a chickenish stubble and fish belly skin on that face once so blazing and brave. And his old faithful parrot can hardly bear it, since old Captain Blackbeard shaved. When he shouts, board and sinker, it sounds like a clinker, and he gets lots of laughs from the slaves. And his loud body songs seem a little bit wrong, since old Captain Blackbeard shaved. Now no one is fearing his look or his lash, or his threats of a watery grave, and things ain't the same in the pirate and game, since old Captain Blackbeard shaved. And it has a drawing of a gangly pirate with not much of a chin. Actually, I was going to say nobody in this picture has much of a chin, but actually there is one pirate with a giant chin. But he's sitting on, like, a railing of some sort, looking really sad and downcast, and his parrot is shouting at him, and his pirates are, like, pointing and laughing at him.
We call that the Proud Boy chin.
Which one? The one without the chin or the huge angular, like...
No, Blackbeard.
the one no where chin.
The one where his neck just connects directly to his teeth.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that we're talking about the removal of sex characteristics.
Well, orchidectomies. And in this case, just neutering of cats. I was helping out with the hoarding situation where I took in some cats, and I had one that I named Flufftown Girl, because she was this fluffy tabby, And the poor thing wouldn't really move very much because she was incredibly matted. And so when you have really matted fur, it's really painful because it's kind of like you're getting waxed all the time. Like it's pulling out the hairs.
Yeah.
And so she got shaved recently, though, and I don't have her anymore. I sent her off to get shaved with another foster. And apparently she's super happy now and just like prances around and is cute.
Sent her off to get shaved. What a shocker that that's not something you do with the, you know, thing, that Manscaped lawnmower thing just in the shower.
And the sad thing is she had like these two sections on her side that were really matted. And when I saw a picture of her after she was shaved, like those parts were missing so much fur just because it had been pulled out constantly.
Oh no. Is she coming back?
Not to me. But you know, she's in good hands.
Okay.
But Flufftown Girl is not as fluffy anymore, but she's a lot happier and apparently chatty and frolicky.
That's excellent.
And so I have a kitten named Paul. I call him Paul because when I first got him, I thought he was a neutered male.
Oh, interesting.
Because I was like, oh, he clearly has a penis, but he doesn't seem to have balls, so he's a neutered male. And then after he cleaned himself up a little bit, I realized he just had matting back there. I know he totally had balls. Not very big ones, but he had balls. So then I was like, small ball Paul.
We're just shaming Paul on this freaking podcast.
I mean,
it's like, yeah, we took a look at Paul's balls and they were unnecessarily little.
Well, he's not a full-grown cat. He's still a kitten.
Ball-shaming Paul.
He's still a kitten. But now he's no ball Paul.
So, I have a dumb question that you would probably be better equipped to answer than me.
Sure.
When it's females, it's spaying. When it's males, it's neutering.
Yes.
Why not castration?
I think castration often has to do with, like, the removal of the scrotum as well.
Hmm.
And in this case, they don't remove the scrotum, they just take out the testicles. But that would be a wild guess. I don't actually know. We should look this up.
Interesting. Cause
maybe it's actually just because like pet owners are softies and they don't want to think about castrating their little baby.
Oh. I was going to say, because I know it's when you take everything, it's emasculation. Such a good word. Love that word.
No, they leave the scrotum. And actually it looks like they have balls for a little while even after they've been neutered. Because they shave the genital area. And so all they have is this swollen, empty angry scrotum back there that makes it look like they still have balls for a little bit until the swelling goes down and the fur grows back.
Trying to look up why vets, because I've heard castration in terms of like a medical situation for people or like for farm animals, like when they take the rubber band and put them around like the goat's testicles, they call that castrating.
Right. Yeah,
but I can't find why vets seem to prefer neutering. I think maybe you're right that it just sounds better.
It might just because it sounds more gentle.
It seems like castration is used more in the UK.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of pet forums .co.uk that are all saying castration and basically nobody's saying, oh, wait, there's a neuter. Hmm. Weird.
Yeah, it might just be because it has such negative connotations.
Does it?
Well, I mean, when it's an elective castration, it's called an orchidectomy.
Oh.
I mean, is it an orchidectomy or an orchiectomy? Let me see.
I say orchidectomy sounds like something you'd learn at HANA. What the hell's that Ikebana school?
It's orchiectomy.
Orchiectomy.
Well, there you go. Orchiectomy is an elective castration.
Well, speaking of horny things,
I don't know. Castration doesn't make me horny.
Do you want to see a photo of the Iowa Civil War Memorial?
Oh, okay. I would like to see how this is horny.
I have gone my 41 years of life without ever knowing this. Only been to Iowa once, so it is understandable that I would miss this statue.
Yeah.
But why don't you tell the people what we're looking at here?
Okay. So it is a woman naked from the waist up, although maybe naked underneath that, but she has some sort of drape on her. And she is baring her tits with both hands forward.
She is showing off them milkers.
She sure is.
Look, that is the horniest statue I have ever seen. Look at her, understand. Man. Hail Iowa.
I do not understand.
Third reply down. The South is definitely rising.
That is so strange.
This was posted by Freak Jerry on Instagram. And the caption here reads, "What do you mean you wouldn't personify your state as a hot young MILF with sweet, perky milkers?" Jesus Christ.
I would like to know more information about this. Like, what does it represent exactly?
Wow. To clarify, this is a pro-union monument. She is supposed to represent Iowa as a young mother nourishing post-war America with the milk of unity. This is the horniest thing I have ever seen.
My cat is making really weird snoring sounds. It sounds like...
Put her on TikTok.
She's on the other side of the room. She's sleeping with her eyes partially open, too.
Like a big weirdo.
Yeah, she's a really big fluffy weirdo.
Nourishing post-war America with the milk of unity. Hold on. What the fuck is the name of this thing? Hang on.
I wonder how many schoolboys wanked to it. It was probably the closest thing to porn most of them had.
Oh, the inscription reads, "Iowa, her affections, like the rivers of her borders, flow to an inseparable union." Wow.
And I guess each tit is a river?
It's I'm quoting here from Little Village Mag. It's probably not the most erotic statue in the world. In his iconic memoir about growing in, must be growing up, because he is definitely growing in Des Moines if he's looking at this statue. In the early 50s and 60s, Bill Bryson, described a 7-foot-tall bronze statue on the grounds of the Iowa State Capitol as the most erotic statue in the nation. It's called Iowa. It depicts a seated woman who is holding her bare breasts in her hands, cupped from beneath in a startlingly provocative manner. Bryson wrote in Life and Times of the Thunderbolt Kid. Of course, Civil War monuments aren't known for being erotic, and this one didn't start out that way. A man named James Harlan. Okay. Wow, this is a history. Fuck it, we got time. Let's do it.
Iowa
contributed more troops to per capita to the Union Army than any other state. So a large official memorial would be expected. But 13 years after the end of the war, there was no official state monument. A man named James Harlan was determined to change that. Harlan was a significant figure in Iowa politics. Born in Illinois, he moved to Iowa City after graduating from college in Indiana in 1845 and was appointed the city's school superintendent. In 1853, he moved to Mount Pleasant, where he spent 2 years as president. He did a bunch of shit. Became Secretary of the Interior, became a senator, a bunch of shit. In 1888, Harlan successfully pushed the Iowa legislature to create a monument commission and became one of its leaders. The commission began accepting designs for a memorial and offered $500 for the best design, truly a king's ransom at the time. Artists from across the state submitted plans. In June, they selected a design by Harriet Ketchum of Mount Pleasant. Ketchum had established a reputation as a sculptor in Iowa art circles, but her selection was still a surprise. If anyone thought she had an unfair advantage because she was friends with Harlan, had attended Iowa Wesleyan, and once sculpted a flattering bust of the former senator, they were polite enough not to say so publicly. Okay, initially, it was going to be a very stereotypical Nike, that is the Greek goddess of victory. Yeah. When the design came out, no one liked it. It then went through a few more iterations. Wow, okay. There's so much here, so I'm trying to just, like...
You still haven't explained how it ended up with these tits.
The first revision was history as a maternal figure reading to a child. Then came a mourning Iowa woman placing garlands on a funeral urn. Mourning Iowa, as it was called, continued to change. Okay, so she never lived to see the finished monument. She died in 1890. The Iowa legislature didn't approve funding for 2 more years, and then they hired a Dane living in Chicago to finish the statue. He did not stick to her design at all. He was the one that came up with this woman with her tits out. When commission members saw sketches of all the revisions, they were outraged, especially Harlan. Even by 19th century standards, Harlan was a prude. Oh, he once banned a book of poetry from the Capitol building. Wow. Oh, fuck me.
You're going to have to tell me.
Story,
I'm not
Jesus
reading the
Christ.
Thing.
This story. As Secretary of the Interior, James Harlan searched the desks of his clerks at night, looking for signs of inappropriate behavior. One night he found a book of poetry. He flipped through it, shocked by the poems, and wrote that such filth had no place in government, and fired the clerk. The clerk was Walt Whitman.
Oh!
Okay, so eventually, it just got lost in the churning wheels of government, so another 7 years later, this thing is still up for, like, a procedural vote, and everyone just got bored and said yes.
I see.
Harlan was just mad about it forever. He gave a speech 3 months before his death where he complained about the deformities in the monument. And for listeners, there's nothing deformed about this. This woman has gorgeous tits. Wow. Everyone complained about it.
Except for all the children who thought were delighted.
The children very much liked it. However, a guidebook to the monument was published that was just lionizing the fucking thing. They said it was so brave. It was an appropriate symbol of our young and vigorous state, elevated by the purity of suggestion. One of the finest art
conceptions
in America.
Suggestion.
Damn, and there it is. And in the words of Bill Bryson, it's a long way to cycle just to see some copper tits.
And I'm sure people did. I mean, like, that's probably the closest thing to porn most poor kids had.
That's awesome. What a fucking thing. Wow. God damn. I had no idea where that was going.
That is a good story.